Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, inspire us as we share in your word this morning. Speak to our hearts. We are listening together, but Father, speak to us individually. Let each one receive what he or she needs for where they are and where they are going in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, and we worship you. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Oh, I didn't hear you. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Let me quickly remind you some of the highlights from last week's Sunday, okay? And this is just going to be in quick succession because we want to do this in a hurry this morning. I told you last week that the greatest hindrance to cultivating a habit of consistent prayer is ignorance and indiscipline. The greatest hindrance to cultivating a habit of consistent prayer is ignorance and indiscipline. For indiscipline, I told you, once it dawns on you that everything you need to move your life forward is on the other side of pain, everything, okay, you need to make progress in life requires effort. So, you know, when you are supposed to pray and you don't feel like praying, you tell yourself it's just like saving, it's just like exercising. Everything I need to move forward in life requires effort. And I told you that, but there are things you need to know about prayer that if you know them, you will be inspired and motivated to pray. And that's what we're doing in this series, letting you know the things you need to know so that when it's time for you to overcome your flesh and say to yourself, we're praying this morning, you are motivated because you know exactly what is happening. We're showing you how to pray effectively. Listen, when you start getting results from prayer, you will not need to be reminded to pray. I told you last week that prayer is a tool of dominion. Prayer is a tool of dominion, all right? I told you that through prayer, we bring the power of God to bear on earthly occurrences or experiences. We can alter things, okay, through prayer. Hallelujah. The Bible says to us in James chapter 5, 16 to 18, it says Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed for there not to be rain, and there was no rain for 3.5 years. The Bible says, and he prayed again, and the heavens began to give rain. You know what that means? I can switch stuff. I can change stuff. I can alter what is going on around me by the power of prayer. There's an interesting story, all right, in the Old Testament. And it was when Absalom revolted or rebelled against David. And quite a number of people, you know, joined with Absalom. And one of such persons was this man called Ahithophel. Now, in those days, they said that when you get counsel from Ahithophel, it is as good as receiving counsel from God. Did you get that? So both David and every other person trusted in the counsel of Ahithophel. If Ahithophel tells you to do something, it will work. Now the Bible records that Ahithophel also now sided with Absalom against David. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what you are dealing with this morning. But you've got to realize you are never so backed into a corner that there's no way forward, that there's no way out. So David did not have, Ahithophel. But David realized, I have God, and through the power of prayer, I can alter events in my life. So David prayed to God and said, Father, frustrate the counsel of Ahithophel. I'm not sure you understand what I'm saying. They tell you nobody can overcome this challenge. Nobody has gone through it. Nobody has succeeded here before. Nobody in your family can do it. You need to tell to yourself, but I have power in prayer to turn things around. Whatever the situation is, you can turn it around by the power of prayer. David said, Lord, frustrate the counsel of Ahithophel. And that was what happened. Not that Ahithophel stopped being wise, but God turned the attention of people away from Ahithophel. So another person said, the suggestion of Ahithophel is not true. It's not right this time. And everybody believed him. Ahithophel felt so bad, he committed suicide. Oh, I'm not sure you got that. He felt so bad that he was rejected. He felt so bad that his counsel was refused. He committed suicide. All David did was what? Father, frustrate the counsel of Ahithophel. Tell your neighbor, never stop praying. No matter what the situation is, no matter for how long you have been dealing with it, never stop praying. I told you last week that the greatest benefit of consistency in prayer is transformation. Now, the reason why a lot of people don't pray, and the reason why a lot of people say prayer is not working for them, is because a lot of times they don't know what is supposed to happen when they pray. Listen to me. Everything that comes in your life and stays in your life are the things you attract by the person you become. Are you getting this? Anything that comes into your life that is not a reflection of your reality inside is only visiting. The things that come to stay are the things that are a reflection of your inner reality. It is in the place of prayer that that transformation takes place. Prayer essentially is communing with God, fellowshipping with God. He that walks with the wise shall be wise. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. So a companion of God, go. Amen. If you walk with God, you will become like God. So they said concerning, Peter and John. They said when they heard the boldness, the unfettered outspokenness of Peter and John, they marveled because they could see that they were ordinary, unschooled men. But the Bible said they took note that they had been with Jesus. In other words, they were talking like Jesus, okay? They were behaving like Jesus, and they had just produced results like Jesus. And they said all of this thing is traced by the fact that they have what? They have been in close contact with Jesus. You cannot be in close contact with God in the place of prayer and remain the same person. The Bible says, and we all, as with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being transformed into his image from glory to glory. Are you getting this? So I told you, every time you pray, you grow. Every time you pray, you grow. So September to December for us at Hill City has been Christian 4 months of growth. The key to that growth, to start with, is the place of prayer. That's why we pray in the morning, we pray in the evening. Listen to me. Regardless of the prayer point, when you invest time into the place of prayer with God, you are not going to be the same person. You keep growing. Every time you pray, you grow. Tell that to your neighbor. If you're watching online, you can put it in the comment section. Let somebody know you are participating this morning. Every time you pray, you grow. Hallelujah. Every time you pray, you grow. I told you last week that the prayer that works is an expression of faith, not of feelings. And that was where we rounded up last week. The prayer that works is an expression of faith, not of feelings. We looked at Mark 11 and verse 24. Whatsoever thing you ask for when you pray, believe that you have received it and you shall receive it. So God knows that at the point of prayer, it has not manifested. That's why the Bible says you shall receive it. But it is necessary at the point that you are asking that to you it's a reality. Are you getting it? When Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, he was not expecting Lazarus not to come forth. When he said, peace be still, he did not expect the storm to give feedback. Are you listening to me? See, I told you, if you're going to pray for 20 minutes, then make sure you have invested 40 minutes in meditation in the Word of God. Because there's no point talking to God if you are not in faith. He that comes must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. I told you that an effective prayer life is built on the foundation of consistent meditation in God's word. I told you that God speaks primarily through the written word. Now, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And when we talk about the word of God, we're not talking about scriptures. We're talking about what God is saying to you. You understand what I'm saying? Concerning your situation, concerning your life, what is God saying to you? When he said to Peter, cast down your nets for a catch, he was speaking to Peter. When he told the guy to go take a bath in the pool of Siloam, that was that guy's word. Are you getting this now? That was that guy's word. When that woman said, if I touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. That was her word. When blind Bartimaeus said, oh, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. See, every one of them acted upon a revelation. The question is, what is your revelation? What is God saying to you? But when God starts speaking to you, you need to realize God speaks primarily through the written word. So I told you that to be ignorant of his word is to be deaf to his voice. To be ignorant of his word is to be deaf to his voice. And that was last week. Let's move on with this morning. Hallelujah. I would have said this last week, but we ran out of time. Okay. Faith without obedience, listen to this, is greed. Wearing a mask of religion. Faith without obedience is greed. Wearing a mask of religion. Because a lot of people come to God and claim to be in faith. And I'm going to show you this in scripture. Okay, they want something from God. And they say, Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Now, this is it. If you truly believe, we will not know by how much you shout in prayer. We will know you truly believe, but by how much you obey his word outside the place of prayer. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, I have young men around me a lot. I'm passionate about young men, okay? I've not branded it yet, but I'm sensing there's a call. And every time I talk to young men, I say this to them. For example, I know a lot of young men struggle with lying. I don't know why. Struggle with lying, okay? And I said to them, the only reason why I'm going to lie It's because I have forgotten that it is God that will lift me. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. See, a lot of people are not conscious of God. You pray to God in the morning. Somebody said this one very, very jokingly. Listen to this. The person, we're in a prayer meeting and we say, let's pray for our leaders. And some of you listening to me, you do it. Maybe not the ones in the service. Maybe the ones who are not existing members who are watching online, okay? I mean, that makes it feel far from you. You wake up in the morning and say, let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for security within your walls. We pray for the prosperity of Nigeria. Father, we declare we have wise leaders. We have passionate leaders. We have righteous leaders. And you pray it in the name of Jesus. And 2 hours later, you are on Twitter. This country is done for. All the leaders are thieves. They are foolish. You just prayed for them. And the Bible says, whatsoever you desire when you pray, believe that you have received it. So when we pray that Nigeria's leaders are righteous, and we say in Jesus' name, amen. If you truly were in faith, you will not call any Nigerian leader a thief. Because what you are saying is God did not answer your prayer. I use that example, Bishop, because I don't want to be too close. So you can apply it to your life right now. Father, Lord, I thank you. I receive my wealth. I receive my prosperity. I receive my breakthrough in the name of Jesus. Amen. 2 hours later, this country now, wow. There's no future for this country. How can you prosper if there's no future for this country? Do you understand what I'm saying? How can you prosper if there's no future for this country? Some people want to prosper in Nigeria, but they don't care whether Nigeria prospers. A rich man in a community of poor people is a poor man. Do you understand what I'm saying? The richest man in Africa is a Nigerian, living in Nigeria, trading in Nigeria. Sila. But you keep saying, Nigeria is going down. You keep saying, nothing is working. Now watch this. When you start declaring your expectation concerning this nation, it may not be working for everybody, but it will work for you. If you are obedient, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. There is good, but only those who are willing and obedient will eat. Because everybody will have what they say. Look at what the Bible says. Mark chapter 11, we read it last week. Verse 24 now to verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. A lot of times we stop there, but look at verse 25. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. When you stand on verse 24 and you ignore verse 25, you are greedy wearing a mask of religion. A lot of people don't know why their prayers are not being answered. And it is because you are asking on one side and you are canceling on the other side. Are we getting this? If you truly want God's prosperity to flow, you have to fall in love with humanity. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can't afford to have any ill feeling towards anybody. You can't afford to know a scripture that you are not obeying. Are we getting this? The wife is praying, Father, bless me. Father, promote me. Father, promote me. Yet, you are defrauding your husband. Sila. Only very spiritual married people understand what I just said. Because it is in the Bible, and the Bible calls it fraud. Are you a man? God, promote me. Prosper my business. And you are not dealing with your wife according to knowledge. This is what I'm saying. When you want God's answer to your prayer, you need to understand God checks the heart. It's not the sweat. It's not how long you fasted. It's not how powerful you prayed. It's not how many scriptures you quoted. It is the state of your heart. Hallelujah. Faith without obedience. And when we say obedience, it is obedience to his word. What has he said that you are not obeying? Amen? He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Some people have neighbors that they can't talk to. Some people have fellow church members that they can't talk to. And every time people talk about the person, you have something negative to say. I'm not saying the person is okay, but you are wondering why your life is not moving forward. Do you understand what I'm saying? I tell people all the time, go and you can't count on one hand how many people I have sat down and said, you offended me. It's not because I'm holy and righteous. It's because I love myself. There's nothing anybody should do to you that should be worth your peace. That should be worth your joy. That you should be worth your prayer. So Bible says to the men, deal with your wife according to knowledge so that your prayers will not be hindered. And you are married to a disgruntled wife and you are wondering why your prayer is not answered. Or you are an employer of labor and you are cheating your employees. You are not treating them well. The Bible says, I am the Lord of Sabaoth. I am the God of the people. defrauding. Some people don't understand it. You're showing off, you're living fine. Listen, anybody that works with me knows it's a fundamental principle I learned from my pastor. When it's time to pay, you start from the lowest to the highest. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if the money cannot go around, the people that will not get paid are the senior staff. Ask anybody who works for Hill City. That's the way we start from. As a matter of fact, the way my pastor taught me, when money comes your way, the first thing you do is you pay your debts first. When you are owing people and you are giving them stories and you are praying for God to bless you, you are just wasting time. So my pastor said, first, liabilities first. It goes. After liabilities, utilities. After utilities, junior staff. After junior staff, middle management, before senior management, so that if anybody is going to suffer, it is those guys at the top. Because vision sustains. Oh boy, did somebody catch that? Vision sustains. I'm telling you the truth. Vision sustains. Vision sustains. Okay, and the higher you want to climb, the more you have to live on vision, not on bread alone. Man shall not live on bread, but the word that proceeds. I'm telling you the truth. The word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, but if you want to hear more, you have to do what he said. Prayer is talking to God and hearing from God. A lot of times, the answer to your prayer is something that God wants to say. But God will not speak to you beyond your last level of obedience. Are we getting this? Answer to prayer is not God moving. Answer to prayer is you moving. What moves you is his word. But you will not hear what you have not obeyed before. Oh boy, are you getting this? Let's move on because of time. Let's move on because of time. I said the prayer that works is an expression of faith. This is today's message. The prayer that works is made by faith in the name of Jesus. The prayer that works is made by faith in the name of Jesus. Now, you need to understand this concept. We pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus. Somebody needs to get this understanding. We ask in the authority of Jesus. Every time you say in the name of Jesus, it is as if Jesus is the one asking. Please, you need to get the concept of the name of Jesus. Every time you say in the name, and I'm going to show you that in scripture, in the name of Jesus means I am making this demand as if Jesus was here. Listen to this. When we pray in the name of Jesus, God responds to Jesus, not to us. In other words, we get what he deserves, not what we deserve. It's like cashing a check from a bank with whom you have no account or with which you have no account. Okay, so if Kingsley gives me a check now, let's assume he has a check, an account with First Bank, and he gives me a check. I don't have a relationship with First Bank, but I will go to First Bank and they will give me the money as if Kingsley were present demanding for his money. Because before he wrote the check, he made deposits. Are you getting this? They will treat you as if you are the owner of the account. Because the person who owned the account authorized you. So every time you say in the name of, you need to understand it's not a religious thing. It's a powerful legal term. In the name of Jesus means I'm not asking for this for myself. I am asking on the behalf of Jesus. Hallelujah. When you start speaking to the realm of the spirit, when Jesus said we should speak to things, you need to understand when you declare over your life and you say in the name of Jesus, you are not the one calling for prosperity. You are not the one calling for healing. You are not the one calling for health. You are not the one calling for increase. It is Jesus calling for increase. And nothing in creation refuses the voice of his creator. Some people don't understand that. It's not your power. The power is in the name of Jesus. John chapter 14 and verse 12 to 14. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Now you get the secret now. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than this because I am going to the Father. Look at verse 13. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in my name and I will do it. Hallelujah. Says, I will do what you ask in my name. But please, you need to put that in context. Because a lot of people take that verse now and say, oh, I can ask for anything. No, go to verse 14. Whoever believes in me, these works that I do, shall he do, and greater works. So when he says you will ask anything, it is in the line of greater works. Do you understand now? I'm going to show you from the story of Peter. The reason why the apostles went forth everywhere preaching the gospel and performing miracles was because they understood it's not about us. Even when Jesus was here, he sent them out, said, cast out devils in my name. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yorubas have an interesting proverb. They say, it's the person that sends you on errand that you are afraid to be afraid of, not the person you deliver it to. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why a police officer who have your educational qualification, is not very close to you in status, does not even have your physical energy, when he puts on that uniform, it tells you, pack! You what? You pack. It's not mufu. It is in the name of the law. It is, he represents the president, essentially. Do you understand what I'm saying? When you stand in the place of prayer and you declare in the name of Jesus, you have got to be conscious. It is not about me. It is about Jesus. So he says, ask for anything in my name, John chapter 15 and verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. John chapter 16 and verse 23 to 24. In that day, you will no longer ask me anything. I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything. Why? He was there doing everything for them. So they did not need to ask. So the moment he departed, they understood. When we ask, we will receive, just as when he was here. So until now, you have not asked for anything. Okay, he says, ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Now, let's take our case study, the story of Peter and John in Acts of Apostles chapter 3. You know the story. They were going to the temple to pray. There was a man crippled in his feet by the beautiful gate, and the Bible said he asked them for alms. Okay, let's pick it up now from verse 6. Okay, Acts of Apostles chapter 3 from verse 6. Then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, that you don't have cash does not mean that you are broke, does not mean that you are done for. Let me tell you the power of wealth. Let me tell you the power of wealth. Anybody who invests money, you will notice one thing. Even if you don't have cash, you don't feel poor. People who are investors, I'm telling you the truth. As I'm talking to you right now, if you have anything above 500,000 somewhere that is making money for you, even if there's no money in your pocket to leave this place, you will not start crying. Have you noticed? Because you have something in reserve working for you. So Peter and John understood, look, the name of Jesus is so powerful. Listen, this is what I'm trying to say. So some of you understand what I'm saying. When a demand, financial demand is made on you that you don't have, but you have enough people in your life who feel obliged to respond to you when you make a demand on them, you still don't feel poor. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't feel poor. You don't feel poor. I had to raise some amount of money not long ago. And when I was told we need this amount of money, I said, okay, how do we raise this amount of money? Okay, we can get this amount from here. Okay. And I just called one person. Just one person. I said, look, there's a righteous cause. I need you to give $500,000. All the person said, Pishak, when? See, but there is a way to cultivate such relationships. I took 5 days to teach you that. And some of us, as I'm talking to you right now, you already have those relationships in your life. You need to learn how to nurture them. You need to learn how to sow and water. And then you need to, I was calling for a harvest. But you don't call for a harvest where you have not sown. So that's what I'm saying. When you are the kind of person that has invested in people, you are never stranded. I can call. So it's the same thing with the apostles. We don't have money in our pockets, but they knew when they came to arrest Jesus. You remember what Peter did? He cut off somebody's head. Then you see, it's like when, let me use another illustration. It's like when you are in the hood and the number one area boy is your elder brother. Well, I was like that in primary school. My first attempt at primary school. I went to two. The first one. Amen? When I say I was short, you understand? So, because somebody's wondering, you are still short. But I was short. Very small, little boy. But I would talk tough. Because I had a brother who would defend. See, my brother does not ask questions. It's not about what I did. The only question is, why did you touch my brother? He will beat you. So during break on the field in those days, I'm just, you know, strutting around. I'm just confident. All I need to just look around. It's like Tom and Jerry. When Jerry is beginning to turn Tom and the dog is somewhere, you know. But then, he would always defend me. So I had confidence. So Peter, just look, we have the name of Jesus. We can't be stranded. Don't let anybody tell you that you don't have money, you are stranded. No, you are not stranded. If you understand, look, I may not be able to approach Central Bank of Nigeria, but I can approach Central Bank of Heaven. In the name of Jesus. Silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, walk. Look at what the Bible says. Verse 7. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles were strong. He jumped up and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. By the time you get to verse 16, people had gathered. Peter started preaching to them. Look at what he said in verse 16. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong by the power in the, by faith in the name of Jesus. The question I came to ask you this morning is, do you have faith in the name of Jesus? He says, it is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. Of course, the elders, when the Sanhedrin came and all that, arrested them, blah, 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 blah. When they were presented in front of the Sanhedrin for questioning, chapter 4 and verse 8. Chapter 4 and verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and had been asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed.